I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards? Hi, guys.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, we're here.
Yes, we are.
Sober once again.
I think our audience, I think with every series we do, so not even like once a season, but every new series, we should find a time to do a drunk episode because I think that was what the audience demands.
Yeah, I mean, that was two episodes ago now, so they've heard us both ways.
They sure have.
It did legitimately ruin half of a week for me, but...
Did it? A whole half of a week?
Oh, I felt like shit through like Wednesday.
Wow.
Okay, I think it was the Reese's more than the booze.
I definitely was dragging ass on Monday, but not like hungover. I don't know. I just, anytime I drink any amount, I feel like no matter what time of the day it is, I always get bad sleep that night.
It was fun where I was like, oh, that'd be fun if we did like another podcast, like where we always record drunk. And then I was like, oh, wait, but then we'd be alcoholics and that would ruin my life.
That's what I'm saying. One episode out of every series.
Okay. Fair.
Maybe something to consider. How about just every Valentine's Day, regardless of what the future holds?
That feels like a Valentine's Day tradition. And that we will keep doing forever. And and we're going to have sober St. Patrick's Day.
That would be good, yeah.
Yeah, even someday we're both married and we're just going to be like, babe, I know all your friends' boyfriends are making you a home-cooked meal and writing you notes and shit, but I got to get drunk in a closet with Meg. And that's just something you're going to have to deal with if you want this, gestures to body.
And they go, can't you just do it the day before? And you go, that would ruin the authenticity.
Our listeners would know.
Yeah.
They would figure it out. Savvy bunch, all of you. You're all very savvy.
Yes. We should do completely tripping on mushrooms Easter podcast.
I would do that. Yeah. I've never done that drug.
Yeah, me neither. But I mean, like... It seems like an Easter holiday drug, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely seems like you would find your resurrected Lord.
Through shrooms.
Yeah. Pontius Pilate loved shrooms.
Oh, that's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah. That's in Leviticus.
So you know how he... no, because Leviticus is Old Testament.
No, it's in Leviticus.
Oh, yeah, it's in Leviticus. No, sorry, like Doy, you're right. I got mixed up. But you know how he like washes his hands of the crucifixion of our Lord?
Yeah.
Actually, he was just like, water, man. That's what he was doing. He just wanted to splash around in it.
It's like a shapeless shape is what he kept saying.
And he's like, so it's crazy. You put it in. If I put this in a chalice, it'd be the chalice shape, not this bull. And everyone's like, move along, Mr. Christ. And they got him out of there.
And they killed him.
They killed him real good. Well, no, not real good. He came right back.
They did a shitty job killing him.
Mm-hmm. They did a way better job killing Osama bin Laden.
Yeah. USA.
USA. USA. USA. USA. USA. All right. Well, if you haven't figured it out by now, I don't know how you couldn't have. This is a show about Breaking Bad. In all, it's a scientific breakdown of every episode in the wrong order. And we watched a pretty good one today. I think series-wise, like an important one.
Sure, yeah, it sets up a lot of stuff, but I had a hard time thinking that this was an episode of the same series we'd watched just a few weeks ago. Like, there's been a lot of radical changes in between seasons, I feel like.
Skyler figuring it out is such a monumental change that, like, it just totally changes the color of the show. Like, we were talking about this when we were drunk, when they're, like, acting like husband and wife.
Yeah.
And so now, especially also... They're like we watched them early on. They were like Mumford and Sons now. And now they're kind of like what Mumford and Sons envisions themselves as.
Like Mumford and Sons from 2013?
Yeah. Where they're just like, yeah, dude, we just do shows.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Was that not a good band example? Should I pick a different band?
Are you meaning like just Mumford
and Sons? They're like indie. they're indie rock now. They're not like Mumford & Sons now is like, you know, on pop radio. They're like mainstream, but I'm assuming, you know what? I picked it wrong. I don't really know anything about Mumford & Sons. I know that one song. The
I Will Wait For You one?
Yeah, but I don't know anything else.
Okay, so let's imagine that this is like Bob Dylan from the 60s, and no.
Okay, no, no, I got it. Okay, so the other seasons we watched were the Beatles during Beatlemania. Now, we're seeing the Beatles in clubs in Hamburg, Germany.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Have you heard of them? They're good.
I have not. I've heard people talk about. I've never actually heard a song by the Beatles.
Oh well, I heard them on Spot. I found them on Spotify, and they're pretty good. I think. I'm pretty sure. A lot of their stuff gets streamed. That's how they're most known for. They're like a streaming band. Yeah. They like they like when people stream their stuff. Yeah, so that's what's going on. And it's just, you know, it's different.
Yeah, it is, in my opinion, you know, I don't feel like I'm about to see any 3D renderings of, like, the chemical reactions that cause methamphetamine like we see in the fifth season.
When the fuck did that happen?
When they were, like, cooking with Todd.
Oh, it wasn't, like, okay. It was, like... No, like I know what you're talking about. CGI. It's not, like... I thought you were talking about, like... in the labs in Jurassic Park when, like, it's, like, on a screen. It's like, in the show.
Remember when they had that character called Mr. Meth Head and it was just a chunk of meth? And he's like, I'm Mr. Meth Head.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you the chemical processes of how to make methamphetamine.
Yeah, I know. Okay, yeah, that did happen. Sorry.
Yeah.
I am so... my brain.
We're all over the place.
I have dumb boy brain. It's stupid. Stop thinking about cum. Okay, there we go.
I feel like I'm being a little petulant today.
You're being a little bit of a cheeky monkey. I love it. It's fun.
A lot of methamphetamine before.
Usually I'm ribbing you, and you're just throwing it right back at me today. It's great stuff. Good stuff. we are fighting.
This is aggressive, yeah.
This is a big fight. Okay. I guess we should get into it. Because it's a pretty... significant cold open.
Wait.
Wow. Meg
yes?
just
yeah. No,
went
I remember.
Dead in
I
the
remember
eyes.
What the cold open is right now. Sorry, I was just thinking. Sometimes it's hard to. It's a very significant cold open. Yes.
Combo. We've heard of him. Saw him in one flashback. He's mostly known to us as, hey, that guy Combo who got shot.
Yes, I've heard about him for a while.
Yeah.
I've seen him but a time, and this is the second time I've seen him, and he. Dies immediately.
Yeah, it's not even like, oh, he'll die later this episode. It's like, bam, 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 shoot, 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 kill, kill, kill.
Yes.
And we see those two quiet drug dealers we've seen later on.
They just kind of look.
Yeah,
they don't
like,
do too much.
Yeah. Do they ever talk? I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. And then you, as a normal audience, wouldn't know this, but you, Meg, do because we've seen everything. It's Andrea's brother.
Yeah,
Brock's
I mean,
uncle.
Yeah, he's just a little boy. Mm-hmm. And I find it weird that when Jesse found out that this was Andrea's little brother, he didn't want to stop seeing Andrea. You know, like that would be too many degrees close enough to the murder of my friend that I felt partially responsible for that I would not want to like be involved with that person anymore. You know?
Yeah, but he was like, you know, getting late.
Oh, that's true. If you get to have like, sex, it's...
He was
yeah.
getting... Yeah, like, on the reg. Like, true. Like, it wasn't even like, oh, it's a big deal. It was, like, routine at that point.
Oh, yeah. They were just, like, they had been seeing each other.
So, you know, you gotta make that work.
Oh, okay. I think that's how terrible toxic relationships happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, but they're still with us, and they're not going anywhere. So, you know, go Jesse.
All right. Okay, Jesse, you did it.
But yeah, the opening shot of this episode, we probably should mention, is fucking sick.
Because
it's that bike tire just spinning, and there's pegs on it.
Front and back pegs. He
yeah.
can take all sorts of people all around the town.
So, I mean, you knew, well, maybe you didn't know it was this kid right away, but any audience member would be like, oh, so this kid's fucking sick. Yeah.
I had a feeling it was Andrea's brother because it was a boy on a bike.
You have seen him before when Jesse buys drugs from him to confirm later.
Yeah,
on.
I had seen him, but I didn't super remember what that kid looked like other than like a middle school boy, you know, on a bike. Mm-hmm. So, but I kind of just figured once he started We Sell Combo that like, oh, it's this fucking kid. He's going to kill this guy.
Yeah, he acts much more like a little boy in this scene than he does in the other one. Because in the other one, he's like, you want meth? And then he's like, bounce! In this one, he's just like riding a bike and until he pulls the gun out. And even then, he looks like a little boy shooting it.
Yeah, he's very surprised at what it does.
He's all like, I've reclaimed a life. Uh-oh, this is like a big step.
And then I'm going to keep shooting. I think the commitment to keep shooting was the thing most surprising. That he fired the gun like 5 times is like wild to me.
Yeah, you can't like kill someone and not finish the job like those fucking people in Jerusalem did all those years ago.
Okay, fair. Yeah, you're right. You can't you can't pussyfoot around it. You got to go all the way. I didn't have that much. I like had a hard time finishing anything when I was 12, and
yeah, same.
As a 33-year-old woman, not much has changed.
Sure.
So, you know, the idea that he wasn't like, well, this was boring and just put the gun down and did something else, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, clearly he didn't bring his Game Boy Advanced, because if he had, he would have set that down and started playing Rayman on it. Anyway, yeah, he shoots Combo in the soda, and Combo. I'm actually so we both comment. Combo's wearing all white, and we were both making jokes like, "Hey, that'd be covered in ranch and chocolate." And I was like, "Oh, I'd have a polka dot Cheeto dust fingerprint outfit after a little while," and it was really fun. Like, you guys should have been there; it was hilarious. But I'm surprised the director didn't take more of an opportunity to have like striking blood on this outfit because it's kind of hidden behind the soda, and then he's on the ground.
Yeah, you definitely could have had him, like, on his back with a big red stain spreading across his chest or something like that. Because, it seems like you dress a big guy like Combo up in all white to really drive home what's going on after he gets injured, you know?
Or to get married.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Traditional garb of men getting married in America. Mm-hmm. An all-white crushed velvet tracksuit.
Sure are. but yeah, and then they obviously play the Breaking Bad theme song, which we all love and have on our Spotify playlist. And then we get Walter and Skyler meeting at a doctor's office.
Yes, it's the same doctor's office we see in 2 episodes from now after they have the, like, well, you did a good job getting cut up, Walter. Kind of like debrief after surgery.
Yeah.
And they're saying, like, you responded to chemo. I know it's said that the tumor seemed inoperable, but now I think, you know what? It would be a good idea. It's going to be between $170,000 and $200,000. And
Walter goes, does surgeries really cost that much?
I don't have any idea. I also don't know if it's life-saving surgery, how insurance works with that. I do know, like, I have my own things with my family where, like, the rigmarole of insurance is unbelievably complicated, but I don't know how cancer surgery works and, like, why insurance wouldn't cover something like that.
Yeah, he's not getting, like, gold breast implants. He's getting, like, cancer removed.
Yeah.
But even that's, like, I don't know. Like, that much? That's wild.
Like, a preventative surgery like that, I have no estimation for any of that stuff. Maybe because it's preventative and, like, insurance companies, everything in this country is pretty reactionary. They're not proactive, you know? They kind of are just, I don't know. I guess they'd think it would just be cheaper for him to die than to get the surgery, maybe.
Well, it would be.
Yeah.
And unbeknownst to them, probably better for the world. But, yeah. I mean, he does cause a lot of death later on.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. In Minority Report, they arrest people before they actually commit the crime. So, if they had that technology, they could have taken care of that here.
We should write a letter to Vince and say, have you seen this movie?
Have you seen Minority Report? That'd have been cool. Pre-crime. But
why didn't you do that here, dude?
If they haven't done anything wrong, are they a criminal? Well, That's the moral quandary of Minority Report. It's a good movie.
I wonder, like, how far in advance they could, like, I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Well, it's pretty quick. It's, like, up to, sometimes, it's weird. It's in the movie, it's, like, three, like, emaciated ladies in, like, magic tubs that go, like, and, like, the computer people. And, like, when they predict something, like, a red ball comes down, a giant thing, and then Tom Cruise has to look at it, and then, like, he has these gloves that have, like, they basically kind of invented, like, what a touchscreen would look like in 2003. But he's just standing in front of a screen and going, like, swoosh, swoosh, swoosh. And then going, like, shink, shink. And then he's like, oh, this address, this murder is going to happen in a half an hour. And then they run there and they're like, you were thinking about killing your wife. And he's like, I was thinking about jerking off. And he goes, that too. Like, and they just. So it's, I don't know, good movie. And then Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Gets questioned. They're like, you're going to kill someone, Tom Cruise. And he's like, but I'm the guy who's in charge of this. And they're like, well, something fishy's going on. And then everyone runs around. End of movie.
Okay, right on.
Sorry,
yeah,
I didn't plan on doing that.
I think that Vince really missed an opportunity to not insert the plot of Minority Report into Breaking Bad.
It's wild that most movies don't do that.
They just insert the plot of another movie into their movie.
Minority Report specifically. Like, oh, I was fair. There's this movie that's like up for like Anthony Hopkins. It's about dementia and old age, and it's based off a play called The Father. Have you seen that? It's got like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. No. Well, yeah, it's like getting a lot of Oscar buzz, but it's, I was reading through the synopsis on Wikipedia, and there's nothing about pre-crime on there.
And not at all?
Not at all. Yeah, there's none.
I don't even know how it could be a movie at that point.
Yeah, it's like, well, what do you guys do? Just sit around and look at each other? Like, I don't know. I mean, it's about dementia, so probably, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. Weird. I guess we'll keep talking about Breaking Bad.
If we must. Not Minority Report. Are you sure? I'm going to lay down a little here.
Yeah, I mean, I could describe the movie to you in total, and then you just wouldn't have to see it. I mean, I kind of already did.
I feel like I have a good sense of the plot. We should probably go back to Breaking Bad.
Are you a Tom Cruise? Are you like a big anti-Tom Cruise guy like some people are? Or are you a neutral Tom Cruise guy?
I'm a Tom Cruise neutral. I think it's fine. I don't like to see him with his shirt off anymore. I don't think
he looks kind of icky now.
Yeah. So if I do see Tom Cruise, I would like him to keep his clothes on.
Is he late 50s?
Mid.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, he looks good. Do you know, I think Brad Pitt looks better. Brad Pitt's torso, I still want to see him without a shirt on. I have no idea if they're comparable in age. I'm pretty sure they are.
I think they're similar in age. I think he's late 40s. And yeah, I think I would want to see Brad Pitt without his shirt off. And Brad, if you're listening, you can have my just DM the Instagram with pictures of your body.
Brad Pitt takes his shirt off in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and looks just A-okay. Wonderful. Wonderful torso on that
oh,
man.
Oh, he does. I saw that last year. I did. On a screener.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we're in the business, guys. Remember that bit? Anyway. Yeah. okay, then there's this scene that Meg wrote to me was confusing. And do you want to describe the scene?
Skinny Pete, God, I can't even remember what the fuck they were talking about, but Skinny Pete's like, why'd you have to extend the territory? Why'd you put him on that corner? And he's saying this to Jesse, it's your fault Combo got killed. And also there was just some like other jargon, maybe about other drug dealers. I don't know, Badgers in Santa Cruz or something, or Fresno. And, I forget what was confusing. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. They were talking about a lot of stuff. They were going, it was one of those scenes that is specifically confusing to our journey on the show because it's a lot of like, remember all this stuff that happened? Which, like, TV has to do for, like, obviously, but once again, for our thing, it's frustrating. Basically, he's saying, you kind of got it, actually, all right. Badger's hiding out in California for some reason, which will obviously become clear later. Also, they shouldn't have moved into territory, and Jesse's like, well, didn't people, like, he implied that Jesse is known on the street for having like done something fucking brutal
or embarrassing. It almost felt like he was like, people think okay, yeah, I guess you would know better. But in my perspective, I was under the impression that he, like, got caught with his pants down and then everybody saw his, like, dick and everybody knew it was his dick and he was like, oh, no. But you're saying, like, doing something crazy with an ATM or something like that?
So, I mean, that's all I'll say. And then they're like, actually, we all eventually it was kind of sussed out that it wasn't you and...
So Jesse, now that's why he's embarrassed, because everybody thinks he's less brutal than he is.
Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't his dick.
Yeah, he told everyone he whipped out his dick. It was massive, and he killed a little Hungarian boy with it. Which Jesse would never do, because he loves children. But yeah. It didn't happen. He made that up, because he wanted to impress his friends.
Okay, sure. As you would.
Yeah. And they're like, why do you think we want dead Hungarian children on our hands? And he's like, I don't know what you all want.
I just want to be cool.
Yeah. And so, you know, pretty cool. And how about that? How about those dishes drying behind him?
I was going to say Skinny Pete's shirt was.
Oh, their shirts looked wonderful.
Yeah. All of Jesse's clothes in this episode are loud.
Yeah.
There's no subtle outfit at all.
Yeah, it is kind of nice later in the show or on season 4 and 5 when he just starts wearing jackets.
Sorry for the pleasant thing in the background. It was just a notification from my computer about some bullshit. So there
we
you
live
go.
In the future. There's all sorts of beeps and boops all around us all the time. And if people have a problem with that, they can eat my nuggets. So then we get that scene in Saul's office, which is a fun scene.
I feel like Saul's demeanor is different here, too.
Interesting. Unpack that.
Well, I guess it kind of seems like Saul is a little bit more hunched over most of the series. And like
what?
Okay, so, like, this is not going to be beneficial for anybody but you, but, like, right now Saul's, like, drinking coffee, which I think he should be getting a masseuse, a hand job from a masseuse or something, because that's, like,
he does love Thai women.
Yeah, he likes Thai women. But he, in this episode, he's got his shoulders down. He seems confident. He seems like he's got a good lay of the land that, like, everything is kind of, as he expects. And as it goes on, he kind of just, like, crouches and, like, his shoulders go closer to his ears and things seem more out of control. And maybe he's just not so used to dealing with them and they continue to be difficult. Maybe he thinks, I don't know, but it seems like he's, like... Well, I admit he always seems to be pretty competent in terms of being a crooked lawyer. Here, he seems to have more control, whereas later it seems like he's always just kind of flying by the seat of his pants because of the shit Jesse and Walt put him in, you know?
Yeah. So I guess I see that. Yeah.
He's like guiding them more here instead of trying to convince them to stop breaking the law so bad. Or
you're
so
looking through it with fresher eyes than me, so maybe it's just hard because I also have his entire like 60 hours of performance from a prequel series rattling around in my brain thinking about him. So yeah, I mean that's interesting. I wouldn't have caught that, but I mean sure. Maybe I thought that when I first watched it.
I don't know, and also maybe you know you don't notice it going the right way. I'm not sure.
Yeah. True. I always forget that this isn't how you're supposed to watch it. There's a few funny bits in this scene. Walt calls Combo's death an occupational hazard, and he goes, well, that's what he is. It's what it is.
Yeah, so yeah. I feel like drug dealers have been shot before on the job. It goes without saying. It comes with the territory. Or
yeah, another funny line. Oh, I like that hit. They've probably shown this before, but I just noticed it, that the scales of justice is his ashtray.
I didn't realize that. I also didn't realize he had an ashtray. You don't see him.
Unless it was just a thing of the scales of justice and Jesse was just putting a cigarette at it because, like, fuck the man. I don't know.
God, what a pain in the ass Jesse seems like. This is definitely, Jesse is the relationship and the character I want to watch the most when, like, this is over and I can watch it the right way. Because I have the hardest time tracking who wants to kill him and when and who's mad at him and who he's mad at.
Interesting.
Because, like, he goes up and down a lot to me. It seems like Walter's got shit under control until he doesn't. And then, you know, nobody trusts him. But it seems like Jesse is almost the reverse journey, you know?
Kind of is, yeah. I mean, from what we've seen, I would say that's safe. Because he does, like, I mean, look at this episode where, I mean, near the end, Gus is telling him, hey, I'd never trust a junkie. And later on, Gus is trying to make him his right-hand man. And he's getting, like, this father-son thing with Mike. And he's like, Mike and Walter fighting. And Jesse's like, hey, just take part of my money, whatever. Yeah. Also, here's like an interesting way we could steal this meth from a train and not kill anybody. I don't know. I drew some schematics. Like he changes a lot.
Yeah.
But he's kind of a little, I find Walt more like sensible in this episode and like the last one too. I mean, heroin is a big thing, but yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I definitely, you know, right now Walt seems sensible, but he's still crooked and shitty. You know what I mean? I don't know. It just is just really is a different show in season two versus season three onward.
Yeah.
For every which reason. But continuing the episode, what happens next in the plot? I'm sorry.
Oh, well, there's a big scene. Oh, yeah. He's like, this suck. You guys suck at peddling meth. And then he's like, well, how much do you have on hand? And he's like, they're like, a butt fuck lot. And he's like, oh, well, I have a guy who traffics in that exact amount. And he calls a guy who calls a guy who calls a guy. Okay. Interesting now because you've seen it all, so I can say this. So it's implied that, because like I said last week, Mike was not planned for this show at this point.
Yeah.
He was a stand-in for Bob Odenkirk, who couldn't make it to filming that day, and they wrote him in. But based on what we know, it's clear the guy he called to call the guy was Mike to call Gus, but I don't know who the third guy is, or if just Mike told him there's another layer of separation.
What if the first guy was Victor, and the second guy was Mike, and the third guy was Gus? I don't know. Yeah.
Does Saul ever talk to Victor? I don't know.
But Victor's always around, man.
It feels like Mike talks to Victor. Like, maybe Saul called Mike, Mike called Victor, Victor called Gus. Well, Saul,
it does
Mike
seem
and
like Mike and Gus are just, like, friendly, you know?
Yeah, they explore that a lot in that prequel show I talked about.
Yeah.
I don't know. Interesting. I mean, clearly they like had some idea for like this guy who's cautious, and then they kind of fleshed it out much, much more in the next season.
Yeah.
So now I can say there are two appearances of Gus in season two. It's this, and then at the end where you see him briefly as just a local business leader.
Yeah. And he gives money to Walter.
Yeah. So clearly they were like, this actor rules and like this performance is pretty good. We should maybe this is the direction we should go for season three. Mm. Which is cool. And they're like, oh, and that old fucking man we got, you know, he kind of slapped too. So maybe throw him in a little bit more.
Yeah.
And he's just basically like, hey, you should let's set this up. And then the next is we see Jesse and Jane at his apartment watching, I forget what they're watching on TV.
They're watching X Games.
It was dope.
Yeah, I guess there was some type of connection there with the with the kid in the beginning and then like BMX biking at the end in the scene as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I forgot. I had like my adrenaline was pumping because the sport was so fun to watch.
Oh, no, yeah, it's hard. I could taste metal the whole time. I was so excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, my ears were bleeding. That's how cool that was.
Wow.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. My ears bleed a lot.
That's weird.
I'm told it's brain blood. Anyway, Jesse turns it off and is like, you gotta go because I want to do a bunch of meth. And Jane's like, I've been clean for a while. You should come to a meeting.
And he's like, I don't know. Maybe you just should go because I don't want to trigger you, essentially. And she's like, well, if you must, and as she's going to leave, she can't bring herself to leave because the drugs are too powerful.
Yeah, I never know. So they imply that she does meth with him, kind of, I think. And then later on, she's like, you want to upgrade?
If you're going to try meth, you know what you'd love?
Heroin.
The heroin. Jesus.
It rules. I bet. I don't know. I mean, the doing it part. The rest of it sounds awful.
I'm not going to try it. I think all of it
I don't think
awful.
I'll try it unless they make it into some sort of an edible.
You would have edible heroin?
Well, okay. If they can make it non-addictive and an edible, I would try it.
My dad used to not be able to eat poppy seed bagels ever. For 36 years, he ate no poppy seed bagels because poppies come from the same plant as heroin and like they can make you get a false positive drug test.
Oh, interesting. Well, they made me enjoy bagels more, so that sucks for him. Poppy seed used to be my favorite, but then I started getting into everything, because, you know, they got it all.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Quite literally. But Yeah, I would do a meth edible, you guys, unless, you know, like a company told me it was safe.
A heroin edible?
Oh, heroin edible. Yeah, I'd definitely do a meth edible in a heartbeat.
I would blow up. I wouldn't be able to handle that.
Only if a company, you know, Big Pharma, were like, no, this is safe. We made it in a lab. It's cool.
They made this in a lab?
Yeah, but like a government one.
Oh, yeah, that is much different. Government labs are
if the FDA got to, like, rub its finger on it and lick their finger and go, all right, it's safe.
I tried this first. It's good. It's a good one.
The D stands for drugs in FDA.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so she's like, meth sounds cool. Anyway, we open up at the fast food restaurant, Los Pollos Hermanos.
Yeah, and Walt is waiting for his order, and we see very briefly Gus being like, this is how you look at tickets.
Oh, yeah. I learned this fucking was so cool when you watch it the first time in the right order, because they just don't even focus on Gus. You think he's just one of the extras.
Yeah.
And then it's so awesome when he finally goes, you're not careful, Mr. White, later on, because in this first scene, they barely focus on him. They're like, he's just like, how are you doing? How are you enjoying your meal? I think this might be the first appearance of Los Pollos Hermanos, too.
Well, it must be, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, kind of ruined for you, because you're like, yeah, it's fucking Gus. We've seen him do a whole bunch of crazy shit.
Yeah, I seen this guy blow the fuck up. Give this 20-something episodes, and he's going to be scorched.
Dude, he threatened to murder a baby.
Yeah.
So... You know,
and here he different. Is like, do you want any more soda?
And Jesse's like, hi. And he says, it sucks. I'm bored.
Yeah. And he's twitchy as hell and he doesn't seem clean and he's late. Jesse kind of thinks like they're getting taken advantage of in some way. And Walt is like, nah, come on. We just got to sell this meth. And he's like, come on, like. You keep saying that, but then you got more and more bills and we have to keep doing this. And now my guy's dead because you got bills. Oops, you fell.
Jesse's like kind of annoying when people in his life die.
Yeah, he's definitely got a bug up his butt about it for sure.
Yeah, he really tries to make it everyone else's problem.
Yeah.
And frankly, I find it frustrating because Jane's about to die and he gets even more annoying.
He has to go away to be annoying. And then he annoys people he barely knows.
Mm-hmm. He's like, do you know about my dead girlfriend? I love her voicemail so much. And you're like, shut up. Anyway. The next scene's in the OBGYN's office where Skylar's getting a bunch of jelly slathered on her belly.
Yeah, she's got conductive jelly on her tummy and you get to see a 3D ultrasound. And that's pretty wild. I didn't know. I had one of those done in 2009. I guess it would have been about the same time frame in this show, right?
Yeah. Do you want to hear the OBGYN story?
Yeah, what's her deal?
Well, her name is Rice Myers McCormick, and this was her first credit.
Ooh.
And so she got started acting a little bit later in life, probably a local hire. And she was later in My Dog the Champion as Anita, in something called Flutter as Linda. And then her last thing was in 2016. She was in American Crime, which I don't remember that. But like as a regular character named Burroughs.
Huh. Well, she just kept saying, keep an eye on your fluids because your fluid level is low. And she was really all up about these fluids. This anyway. Was a weird scene with a couple clunky lines. And it was mostly about fluids.
Yeah, no, a lot of fluid stuff, and it doesn't really go anywhere. Like, it's not like the baby's ever really in danger health-wise.
Yeah, they're just, I guess they just need it as a plot device to schedule a C-section that goes nowhere.
Yeah, maybe they were like, I don't know, at some point they're like, yeah, maybe she'll have trouble delivering it. I don't know. Throw this in there. And then Walt comes in and he's like, don't schedule it for my surgery because that day is about me.
You always do this, Skylar. You always schedule your inductions on those days.
If we get surgery on the same day, I mean, come on, Hank and Maria are only going to visit you.
It is a little wild that, like, they kind of keep that all under consideration, that they're like, well, my last delivery clearly didn't go so hot, so we should do a C-section. Like, that's a little, that's an intense follow-through. That's a, you know, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, does that come up? I guess you can't tell me, like, does the origin of Junior's CP come up?
I don't know. Okay. All I know is I was C-sectioned, and
really,
yeah, I think about it every day.
Well, I guess I was surprised that they were like, we're gonna incorporate planning a C-section into this show because your last vaginal birth was brutal.
I feel like all vaginal births are like, they should, C-section should just be the regular one now, shouldn't it?
I don't know. A really long time to recover from a C-section, from what I hear.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah, but then to be fair, like, you know, regular vaginal birth isn't a walk in, is not a cakewalk either. So what can you do?
Yeah, it's famously hard.
Yeah, yeah, but also you, your body releases a chemical shortly after you have your kids. So that you kind of forget how traumatizing it is and you're likely to have more babies, because otherwise, like, if you couldn't kind of like black out that, I think you'd never have another kid. It's so fucking bad. But even then I was like, I think it was bad. It doesn't seem that bad. But when you're in the middle of it, it's like, I'm never having sex again. This is not worth it. Like,
some people have triplets.
Could you imagine?
I don't know. That Octomom, she had a bunch.
I had a baby that was really big, and that was wild.
Which one?
Brock. He's almost 10 pounds. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and I had him regular.
Jesus.
Do you have a regular baby?
Do you have a McDonald's in your womb? What was he doing?
I don't know. And when he was born and he was big, like, even I was like having the baby, and they're like, he might be an 8-pound baby. And I was like, oh, cool. And then when I was having the baby, My OBGYN, you know, got there and he caught the baby after I had the baby. And Brock was like totally fine with the idea of being born. Like, he didn't cry at all. He was just like, oh, I'm here now.
He seems chill. Yeah.
Yeah. And he got the baby and went, whoa. And everyone got super quiet. And then he went, I was way off on the size on this one. And I was like, is he tiny? Like, I thought maybe I gave birth to like a baby that could fit inside of like a little Easter egg or something. And he's like, no, he's huge. And and they like held him up and he was like, meh. Like, he was just,
oh yeah, didn't his, they held him up and didn't his head touch the ceiling?
Yeah, he had a very long head. But I think the weirdest thing was, I didn't expect him to have, like, I thought he was just gonna be, because he was like the size of like a 12 week old baby almost, I thought he would have like a deep cry, like a boo, but he had like a
mother.
His cry was even higher pitched than when my daughter was a newborn, and I was like, "This is weird." Like,
did you make fun of him for it?
Oh yeah, I went wah wah, like right in his face.
Did you point at your daughter and say, "This is how a man cries"?
Yeah. And then, but here's another real quick baby story. When I had my daughter, I was so young, and I take issue with how this whole thing is shaking out with like Skylar's delivery, because this doesn't happen like this at all, like ever. But with my daughter, when I finally had my baby, wait, where was the story going? I've completely lost track. I'm so sorry. Please cut that out. I forgot.
I want to hear the end of it.
All
right, fine.
I'll bring it up later. I don't know where I was going with it. Like, I had a really good story. Oh, no, now I remember. Sorry.
All right.
I had my baby, and they are like, you have a beautiful baby girl. And they go to hand her to me, and I was so young, I had never held a baby before. And I went, how do you hold a baby? I don't know how to hold a baby. And I just, like, they were like, okay, so we'll actually just take her over here. And they, like, took her somewhere else to clean her off, because they were like, we can't have this lady having a panic attack after having a baby. And then when they finally, like, cleaned her off and wiped her up, they, like, put her in a little swaddle, and then they handed her to me. And I went, oh, what up, gangster? Or, like, what up, player? And they're like, okay, I don't know about this.
Interesting.
Yeah.
My cousin just had a baby yesterday.
Did, what happened? How'd it go?
It's like born and stuff. And it's like, because I'm not like that close to with, like, I like him, but, you know, like, we don't really talk regularly. So yeah. I just kind of got it through the group text, a picture of a baby. And I was like, oh, cute baby. I don't know. I should probably send him like a treat, a snack or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, babies love it. Yeah, get it a basket.
Well, for the parents.
No, for the baby.
Oh, for the baby? Okay.
Send the baby some Powerade and stuff. It needs its electrolytes.
Okay. Yeah. I'll do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's like a little teeny tiny scene where looks like Jane's a little relapsey in Jesse's bed. Looks like maybe she been burning the candle at both ends, meth-wise.
Yes.
And Jesse is like, hey, do you want to go to Santa Fe and just drive around a little bit?
And, go see in a museum? And she's like, I got an idea. What if we did heroin?
Yeah, she said, she's like, I actually feel fine. And that's a problem. So I really like to bump this up the next level. And no offense, Jesse, you seem like, I get why people on the outside think you're a big fancy drug guy. Kind of a puss when it comes to drugs. You don't do the good ones.
And so then they go on this really cute shopping spree to find heroin.
Yeah. It's like in like a romantic comedy when like a girl does a fashion montage at the mall, except it's drug dealers. And it's still adorable.
Yeah.
Like not even in like a fun way. It's like really like, I was like, oh, this is nice. and then.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, we get my least favorite scene in the entire series, Meg. The worst scene Breaking Bad's ever made.
Oh, this, I was like, in what world? Also, so like, because there was a moment after the ultrasound appointment where you could tell that Walt is just so jealous of Ted. And I...
Oh, yeah. For those wondering, the scene I'm talking about is when Skyler sings the Marilyn Monroe Happy Birthday song to Ted.
In a warehouse with the whole crew there. And the lady is like, the candles! Like, she's got some really manic energy about the candles and the cake.
Meg, do you want to know this lady's name?
Tell me all about her, yeah. Wait, you said we'd see her again, right? Or no?
Oh, no, I meant like right now we'll see her career.
Oh, okay, please.
Yeah. Well, her name is Maggie Fine. And you know, her performance was fine. And slam! Oh, I just threw you under the bus, Maggie. You're the only one who's not welcome on this show. Just kidding. Of course, we'll have you on here. But it is weird. She is constantly just like, the candles, guys! The candles! They're getting wax everywhere. But she actually books. Well, she did until 2016. She's in Breaking Bad. She was in Scoundrels. She was in Cowboys and Outlaws. She was in Boardwalk Empire as Jerry Flenty's neighbor. And then while we're here, let's do the other employee who talks some. Her name's Katie Schroeder. Also books. Really quit in 2010. But she was also in The Valley of Ella. Oh, as the casting department. Oh, okay. Oh, local hire. Yeah. So she's in a bunch of New Mexico shit. Okay. Good for her. Anyway, back to the scene at hand. What were you saying before I interrupted you with my dumb shit?
I just thought that this was an incredibly uncomfortable thing for... Well, first Ted's like, my life sucks. The company's going out of business. I suck. Everything sucks. Skylar, sing to me. And she's like, I don't really want to do that. Also, I'm pregnant. And he's like, no, I demand it. And everyone's like, yes, you must.
It's then weird.
Ugh. It's very uncomfortable. And obviously he's just, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over her. He's just into her. He wants to grab her big old meaty buns and, you know.
Her buns are really meaty because of the child.
Yeah, you gain weight in the bun area and it's wild. And she's got a big old rack of lamb too because of the baby situation. Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. This feels like it's from a worse show.
Yeah, I don't understand. It just seems kind of cheesy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It seems weird because she seems a little turned on afterwards, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So what a weird time to be pregnant. Like in
the only like kind of like self-aware Breaking Bad spin on it is when she says Mr. President and then says the full name of the company, which is kind of fun, like a Beneke Fabricator. Do we know what their company does? Fabricators? What is that? Do we know?
I think they like, you know, a fabrication shop, like in, you know, the business, as we both know, is when they like fabricate props and stuff like that. I think in fabricators would maybe make like pipes or something like that, or parts for things, maybe that type of thing. What do you think, Ben?
I'm on the Breaking Bad wiki for Beneke Fabricators, and doesn't really just kind of talks about their tax stuff. the business name Fabricators foreshadowed Ted's fabrication of company financial rec. Fuck you, whoever wrote that. There's no way. And apparently it showed up in Better Call Saul like as a Easter egg, but I don't even remember that. Oh, fuck. I don't know. Guys, get at us. What would a fabrication company in New Mexico do?
I feel like they would fabricate, like, parts to things. They would build parts, you know?
He mentioned, like, wood on that call. He was on the call before, like, they're like, Ben, a key to the warehouse. And he's like, we can't return the stock. It's already been cut. And,
yeah. So I feel like it's some type of, like, I don't, parts fabrication, like building parts for stuff, but I guess I don't know, you know?
Why isn't it called Beneke Parts?
Maybe, I don't have the answers, man. I'm just trying my best to be an active part of this podcast.
I'm thinking out loud. I'm not trying to like get them. I don't, now I feel like an asshole.
You don't, you shouldn't feel like an asshole. We don't know what fabrication shops do in New Mexico, guys. If you're on our LinkedIn, please endorse our
Dove down Meg's throat about it. Well, next is Walt is in his classroom, but there's no students there. And he's talking to Saul on the phone. And he's like, yeah, the guy didn't show up. And Saul's like, oh, no, he showed up. He didn't like the cut of your jib. Actual line.
Yes. Yes. And Adam squealed. I could hear him all the way here.
That's a thing I say a lot. Is cut it. Like, I didn't like the cut of your jib. And Saul says it. I love it. I forgot he said that. It's very fun.
And so then he goes, well, tits. Come on. Fix it. And he goes, no, you know, you lost your chance. I guess it's just not going to work out. And then... Mm-hmm. You know,
he specifically says you only get one shot. And then Walter starts singing a song from Hamilton, which doesn't come out for 6 years.
So that was weird.
I'm not throwing away my shot.
Yeah, that was wild.
I was like, whoa, a rapping teacher. I'd learn something from him. Anyway, all teachers should rap to get their
message
across.
Is that called an anachronism when they do that in the show?
Yeah, it was an anachronism. Because the show takes place in 2007, and they predicted it was filmed in 2009, which means they predicted the future about 6 years in advance. Mm. But they predicted the future in 2009, which they wouldn't have been able to do in 2007. So that's an anachronism.
Yeah.
Anyway, good play. People should watch it. He didn't do good at the meat, and so he goes back and gets more chicken.
And then he sits around and he's like, man, oh, man, if only I could figure out how to get in touch with a guy that would meet me here. It's such a thing. And he's looking out the window trying to figure out if I don't follow the logic of going back to this place, not knowing Gus was the contact he was supposed to make. I just don't understand.
I think he had a hunch it was Gus, like, because Gus was around the first time and because he knows the contact saw them and was like, hell nah. And he's like, well, fuck, who saw me there?
Yeah.
And I think maybe he put the pieces together that it was an employee of some kind. Mm-hmm. And then he just went out to scout everyone and be like, all right, who the fuck is it? And Gus seems like he knows his shit. And he keeps, I would love to refer you to our email portal.
Yeah, that was weird. It's like you just told me what to do. Like, they say that later too. The other lady who's got a pretty big part in this show, and I'm surprised about it. She's
in a lot of episodes. Yeah.
Like, good for her.
I'm pretty sure we looked her up. Like, she's obviously not an under five, but she's definitely a local hire.
Yeah, and she's like just in like 8 to 10 episodes. You know, it's weird, and she talks in like almost all of those episodes, so that's got to be kind of fun for her, you know.
Yeah, seems cool.
Yeah.
But then Walt's like, I'd like a soda and 5 minutes of your time,
and the guy goes, okay, but it's not before, like, oh, he inadvertently catches Gus kind of having a very weird look at him in the reflection of the window pane.
Yep. He looks at Gus, look at him.
And he's like, ooh, maybe
reflections, duality, duality of self themes, themes. Anyway, and then themes. Gus sits down with him, and he's like, "I'm pretty sure a man's supposed to meet me here, and I think it's you." And then Gus is like, "You're crazy.
Go to the email." And then once he calls him on his shit for long enough, he goes, "You're not careful, Mr. White. We're not alike. Your partner is high as a kite. That's dangerous. I don't do business with junkies. No thanks. And why do you even do work with him?" And he's like, "Oh, he does what I say," which is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, we're only two seasons in and he's saying shit like this, which proves to me that he's always been an asshole. Like, he's, how do you like, that's the most abusive thing you can say, right? Like, I hang out.
Well,
with
the most abusive thing you could say is like, "Here comes a knuckle sandwich."
that's fair. But I think that's a giant, like, "He does what I say." Like, of course, you're a grade-A manipulative
asshole. Never describe your children that way? "Brock does what I say."
No, never, because it's not true, because nobody fucking does what I say.
Okay, true. I'm going to rule my children with an iron fist once I get a couple.
You know, when you get them, you think that it's just like they will listen to you, but it really is not the case.
That's true. Yeah, that sounds true.
Everything's up for negotiation. And then sometimes you let the hammer come down where you're like, but it's always over, like, they know when they've pushed it too far, because it'll be like, they'll just bellyache about going on a walk, and then I'll turn around and be like, "Both of you stop." And they'll be like, "Okay, Mom, fine." That's about it. But nothing like sticks when it comes to like, "Stop beating your brother up" or whatever. Like, that doesn't stick around.
He kind of like is like, "You know my shit's good, you know, like you could charge double and shit." And Gus is a little bit like, "It does sound pretty fucking good,
but and, yeah, it's not the only
how much do you have on hand?"
It was just, well, not the only concern. He was like, "I got other shit I gotta worry about, like,
yeah,
how much do you got? I'll get in touch with you. You know, I got your numbers," essentially.
And so later in the episode, when he says, like, he sends Walt the text, like, "I'll buy a little bit," he must talk to have that scene with Gail, where Gail's like, "I analyzed that sample. It's really good." And then he's like, "I'm not doing business with him." And then Gail's like, "Oh, you might. It's pretty pure." And then, do you remember that scene? It was in a cold open.
I think it was after...
You think so?
I think it was after this episode and not in the in-between during this episode. I think it was like...
That makes sense, yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, because that's how he would have gotten a hold of the meth to even sample.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think, you know, he's like, "Yeah, there's other factors I'm concerned about." None of which are like, "I thought it would have been a problem with Walt." It's all Jesse, right? Like,
yeah.
I thought it would be like, "I don't know, this guy seems like a really manipulative weirdo. I don't want to deal with it." But it seems like he's more concerned. I mean... I don't know. It could have even been after he found out about Hank's relation to Walt and everything too. It's any time before basically the end of the season, right? Or the
any time before he offers him like the $3 million.
Yeah,
to
work which for I guess would have been beginning of that's season the, three.
Yeah. So I don't know. Anyway, cool. We miss Gale.
Yeah.
He's gone forever.
Forever and ever.
Yep. And then Gus is just like, because he wants to, he seems to, he's like, "I seem too thirsty. I want to still show him I have the upper hand." And he just says, "You can never trust a drug addict."
And then he skips away.
And he skips away and he's like, "Nailed it." and then there's a very tiny scene where Skyler's like, "So your books are cooked."
Yeah.
And that's that.
Ted goes, "Ah, shit, you found out," essentially.
God damn it. And he pulls off his fake mustache and he's like, "Yeah, you got me." And she's like, "Why were you wearing? That's been fake." And he's like, "Well, yeah, now I'm caught."
It's out, you know, I might as well just fess up to everything right now. And then they have sex right there.
Yeah, they fuck a bunch for 20 minutes. No cuts.
Even when they take time to put on the condom. He's like, "Hold on, yep. I got it." And he fucks up and he accidentally puts it on the wrong way. And then he goes like, "Oh, I should get a new one." He goes, "No, I don't care." It's fine. He's like, "No, I jacked off earlier. There might be some pre-cum on the tip." And, you know, they have that whole conversation.
it is frustrating when that happens and you're like, oh, just a little bit of you could make a baby, and like, we can't have that.
Yeah,
although she is pregnant.
Yeah, but
for disease prevention, yes. Yeah. But if it's the pre-cum, I mean, do we care?
I mean, that can still have syphilis swimming in it, you know?
Oh, can it? Oh, shit. I should know that.
Pre-cum is dangerous. Yeah, pre-cum, if you have an STD, that's still a problem with the pre-cum.
Oh, okay. Oh, I need to stop playing with mine. Anyway, it's
your own pre-cum.
You know, you put it in your finger and you just go, interesting, interesting.
I don't think it's going to make you, if you'd already be sick, Adam, with whatever it has. It can't infect you.
I don't know. One time I was like looking at my cum and I sneezed a bunch. Do you think that was the cum?
You can be allergic to cum. I don't know if you can be allergic to your own cum, but.
Okay. I sneezed. Well, I was also looking at the sun. Do you think it was the sun or my cum?
I almost certainly your cum. Like, okay. 100% you're allergic to your own cum. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's frustrating.
Yeah.
Because
you love to look at it. How can you not? It's like,
I know. It's
everybody
wonderful.
Likes
it's like
to look at their wipe, right? It's like you want to look at your cum too, for sure. For sure.
I sure do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's probably a good time to say my dad said he randomly listened to an episode the other day. So, sup, Dave?
Oh, no. Oh, God, was he so offended?
Hope you hear this. Love you, bud. You were a good dad. Are a good dad. He's still my dad.
He seems like a very pleasant, wonderful, kind-hearted man.
Don't know why he decided to listen to this podcast. Told him a bunch of times not to. So
I wonder if
I really
like,
hope you listen to this one.
Does he? Do you think he dislikes? Does he think that I'm a bad influence on you? After this?
No, he probably thinks I'm a bad influence on you.
Oh, I don't know.
No, he doesn't. He's actually much more understanding than that. He's probably just like, it's just dirtier than I would like, and is probably thinks the whole enterprise is fine, but just not for me, not the tone I like.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, my parents.
He doesn't think anyone's a bad influence or anything, but still doesn't.
My parents are just kind of like of that group of people that go, I don't know why you're doing this. And so.
He's probably like, I like you're doing it. I mean, I personally wish, you talked about cum less, but I suppose whatever the kids are into, I.
Your parents are pleasant people.
They're cool. I like both my parents. Or all four of them. I got step parents. They're cool too. Good group, good bunch of folks. So Skyler's like, I won't turn you in, but like, I'm not gonna help. And he's like, all right, cool. Sweet, don't.
Yeah. And then that's it, I guess, for that, until she goes into labor in her office and she's just like, everything is fine. I'm staring at my computer screen and guess what? It started and it's already full tilt. The heaviest labor you can imagine, active labor,
but
which is very uncommon.
You wouldn't even you are not a fan of this because you don't, this isn't how labor works.
No, it's 100% not how labor works. When
don't go like, ugh, ow, ouch,
she,
dumb
to,
baby.
To have two contractions that quickly, to be in that stage of active labor, that's like, she had no pre-labor pains. She had no, for me, here's how what happened. I was in labor for a day and a half with Avery. I didn't realize I was my labor started in a public swimming pool. I didn't realize that I was having contractions at the time. I was like, man, my stomach really hurts. And I didn't understand that. I was like, it was the furthest thing from my mind that I could be having a baby, even though I was so huge. And then I went home and as I was showering off, I kept going in the shower because I was like, oh, my stomach, why is it so tense? And then that was at 4 in the afternoon. And then, and I was already swimming for an hour before that. And then I went to, this place, you love this place, it's called The Counter. And I went to the bathroom and I had to throw up because my stomach was bothering me so much. And I saw a Black Widow spider and I was so scared.
Yeah.
So this is already at 8 p.m. now. I go home and watch... I promise this story is not going anywhere. Watch, Giant Shark versus Mega Octopus. Again, I fall asleep.
Good movie.
Yeah, no, it's a great film. It's a Criterion Collection. And that I fall asleep on the couch till 2 a.m. So contraction started 12 hours ago, at
Jesus
this point.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't even realize what was happening. They have made me sick and have kept my stomach as hard as a rock pretty much nonstop for 12 hours. Laying in bed, then I just feel an internal pop, And I'm like, oh, what the fuck was that? And then just like a trickle, 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 and your water breaks. It wasn't like a swoosh like that. So, and if that doesn't hurt, that just is like a internal, like it feels like something popped. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
So for Skylar to all of a sudden just be like, I'm in active labor, because like they start making you push when your contractions are like a minute apart and hers were only like 30 seconds. It's like the baby would be coming out of her essentially. So I had a problem with the logistics of this scene.
Well, Meg, I think what you just did was very American because you took your experience and assume everyone else had the same experience.
That's just not what they teach you in having a baby class either. It's so unfair. To give you a frame of reference, the contractions, you're supposed to go in when the contractions are 3 to 5 minutes apart, and they happen regularly, like you can set your watch to them.
Meg, I think I and our audience know I probably know more about pregnancy and labor than you do. So I think it's best to move on. Okay. Frankly, you're embarrassing yourself.
Okay, fair. I tend to do that. I want to embarrass
myself. Wow, for a second we sounded like that other Breaking Backwards podcast.
Oh, gosh. Do you think we accidentally harmonize? And if you play them at the same
time,
like a glass will shatter or something?
That was fun. No, yeah. No, that makes sense.
Okay.
The baby stuff. No, yeah. The baby stuff all makes sense, what you said. I think the real answer is it's for TV, it just works better if she goes right into labor.
Yeah, no, I get it. I just wish that somebody would do a labor scene right at some point and not like...
Oh, are they all bad?
A lot of them are, you know, just convenient. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. All right, interesting.
Convenient baby. Though, to be fair, when I had Brock, I went in and I was induced. And the, like, with Avery, I was pushing probably for 90 minutes to 2 hours. And with Brock, it was just like, whoosh, like 7 or 8 minutes of pushing. And he just shot out and he was huge and beautiful. Wow. So the second
10
one...
10 pounds, I heard.
What?
10 pounds, I heard.
Yeah, almost. 9 pounds, 10 ounces.
Damn.
Yeah.
And head of hair. I know, but just for the listener, how many ounces are in a pound again?
I think it's 16.
I think it's 16. It's 16, right. I should have just been confident. So Jesse's at his house being a fucking bummer.
Yeah, he's just because crying of his dead friend. Skinny Pete's leaving a voicemail and he's like, stop it. I don't like checking this.
Yeah. And he's like, you didn't come to the funeral, and which is fine, but I don't know why you were the one who said you'd make all the snacks if you weren't going to come. So like, we could have done that, but it's just, you said you were going to do it and now we're here and sad and hungry. So the fuck. And then Jane walks in and was like, guess what I have?
And I guess I didn't expect it to be all bound up in like brown paper, but I guess it makes absolute sense that, you know, most heroin dealers have a bunch of parchment paper, I guess.
Did you think it'd have like a branded plastic bag, like a grocery store?
No, I didn't think it would look good. I thought it would just be like, she'd have it loose in her hands and be like, what do I do? What do I do? It's just needles and black
stuff. She's just coming, just a handful of needles using both arms going, oh boy.
Only half of these have caps on the end.
Ooh, ow, ow, ow. It's like I'm hugging a porcupine. Oh no.
Fuck, fuck, fuck. Yeah. Do you know that I used to have
she's
a pet?
Like,
oh, sorry, never mind.
No. I want to hear about this pet.
I used to have a pet hedgehog, and it was like really a pain in the ass to deal with.
That sounds awful. It sounds like something
like
I would never
always, want. Like when you pick it up, it would just poke the shit out of you and go, why did I get this?
Yeah, dogs don't do that. They can't, even if they tried. Their hair just can't do it.
I had a hedgehog and a cat at the same time.
Why would you do these things?
Well, the hedgehog was very well protected. It just curled up in a ball, and the cat was like, fuck, like every single time. I was 21. I wanted pets.
Did the hedgehog have like a aquarium, or I don't know?
Yeah, it had a little terrarium that had like wood chips at the bottom, and I would feed it little pellets and stuff, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any other dogs, like, are there any animals like cats and dogs that just you let wander the house, or is everything else in a terrarium?
I feel like some people do that with bunnies, and some people do that with like macaws, like those big beautiful macaws, like parrots that are I know a guy here who's got like a bird that he's had for his whole adult life, and they last like 75 years or something, so it might
I never ever would want a bird.
I know it seems terrible. And it also is like particularly protective of him. So he walks around with this giant bird and it is always checking people out, but it really hates men, all adult men. It like tries to protect this, his owner. It's this giant crazy ass bird with huge claws. It's like, at you.
I would, if a wizard put a curse on me that said either you can have pet birds and they'll each live like a long time, so like you'll be attached to them, or every dog you own for the rest of your life only lives 3 years and dies, I'd pick the second one. Like, I do not want a pet bird.
Yeah, I seems like a weird curse. Like, couldn't you just say, can I just get no pets? And he goes, no, you have to take me responsible.
Well, I want a dog. at some point. Yeah, okay, yeah, there's probably better options. I don't know. It's not my choice. The wizard made this choice.
Why, if the wizard made a choice for you, would he give you any choice at all?
To teach a lesson.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, wizards are always teaching lessons. You've read those books about that kid in that school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, those ones. Yeah. And that was all just a giant lesson they wanted to teach.
It was a big lesson, but you know that the headmaster wizard could have kind of fixed everything the whole time, but he's like, nah, then no one will learn their lessons. Yeah. Everyone's got to learn their lessons.
This is an important life lesson. You know what? We're going to kill most of our population so that this one boy can learn a lesson.
Yeah, and then, you know, fuck trans people. Yeah. That's another thing he says a bunch.
I know it's subtext, but it's in there. That can let you live as your authentic self, but fuck that.
But, you know, that's lame. And not real, according to wizard science. So, you know, fuck them. Yeah, anyway, they do meth and Jesse floats in the air. Or yeah. They do heroin and Jesse floats in the air. And it's scary because they kind of go into detail about all the steps.
Yeah, well, they did that in the next episode, too, where she's like, lay on your side. You're going to choke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and...
Oh, and she puts it in her ankle or toes or something. I know some people put heroin needles in their toes. In between,
In between?
Yeah,
I guess there must be a lot of blood vessels there or something.
Some people do it in between their fingers, too, like here, like in the webbing part.
I don't want that. That helps me swim.
I don't want it either. I agree. I mean, if I did it, I'd probably do the arm, like Jesse did. It seems like the safest spot.
I don't want to do it in any places. Yeah, I just...
Yeah, I don't want to do it. Well, obviously, unless there was, like, you know, a brownie I could take. In that, which case, of course, I would do it if the FDA approved.
Okay, sure, of course.
Yeah. And he floats in the air. Did you think that was lame or cool when he's like floating around, listening to old music?
I thought it was a little lame. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's kind of lame. Yeah. There's like a couple lame parts in this episode. This episode's kind of lame.
Yeah.
And then Walt's teaching in his class, and
He's teaching his class, and the phone goes off, and he says, "You motherfuckers! I told you. Come on, what are you doing? You fucking cum fucks!" And they all go, "Sorry, sorry, sorry." And then it's like, "Oh, it's the pipes," but it's actually his phone.
He really changes his fucking tune when he realizes it's his fault. He's like, "Probably the pipes." He seems like the teacher that you would, like, get on your first day of class. You'd look at your, like, schedule for the semester, and you'd be like, fuck, I got Mr. White. Like,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, he's so hard. It's going to be such a bummer. Like, yeah. I definitely had a handful of those where it's like, oh, no, I have Mr. So-and-so. I have Mrs. They're, like, really not a joy to be around.
He's, like, one of those teachers that, like, definitely, like, after the show's over, like... Or not even after, when it's found out, like, oh, no, he ran, like, a drug empire and was, like, a horrible man. Like, so many of his students, like, read that on the news and were like, fuck yeah, I knew it. He sucked. He was a shit teacher. This is great.
He was such a tight ass. He had no, like, he was such an asshole. Because, like, the way he talks to Jesse seems like he'd be a really condescending dick if you had a hard time with chemistry. I had a hard time with chemistry. It was really hard to, like... grasp for me. I just couldn't, you know? I tried.
I did
really
too,
hard.
Actually. But my favorite teacher I've ever had, his name's Mr. Lensing. I had him as a junior, first chemistry class, and I did so. He was the best teacher I've ever had. He just loved chemistry, taught it really well. Then I got a different teacher for the second semester, and I did shitty because I'm not like that naturally good at it. And I was so mad. I really wanted him again. And then I took environmental science, which I don't really have that much of an interest in the next year because Mr. Lensing was teaching it. So, good teacher. I hope he's here. I hope he hears this.
Mr. Lensing, if you're listening, please add us on Friendster.
Best, hands down, best teacher I ever had. Yeah. Best, like, at the art of teaching, of like, here, I have knowledge. Here, let me shove it into your brain as efficiently as I can. Best at it I have ever seen.
I feel like Mr. White would be the type of teacher who expected you to do all the reading and understand everything and even read the captions of the fucking pictures and then ask a bunch of hyperbolic questions and get mad when people didn't really know how to respond.
I just remembered Mr. Lensing got really mad at me one time. In environmental science class, I was paired with this girl who I wasn't the biggest fan of.
Sure.
And she wasn't like doing any other work. She was like a popular girl. And I was like, oh, fuck, I do this whole thing. And we had to do a presentation on different topics. And ours was like agriculture, like environmentally sustainable agriculture. And all I did was I did all the work. But every image of a vegetable I found, I Googled like penis carrot, penis cucumber. So I found versions of them that looked like a penis and included them. But only if you have a dirty brain would they look like. So I just doing the presentation, I did that and I got in big trouble and she got a better grade on it than me because of that. So, you know.
Why did you?
Oh, Meg loves this story.
Well, it just is such a stupid thing to do. Like, did they look exactly like dicks?
Like, it was, some of the carrots looked like two legs with, like, another little carrot coming out, like, as the penis. He did not. The class loved it. It, like, really brought. Like, I've never. Like, later on, I tried to actually be a comedian, you guys, and, like, it didn't work out. Like, this was my peak. Like, I crushed in that room.
I wouldn't say it didn't work out. I think you would.
No. I know.
You just got lots of time, friend. Like,
I know. I'm young. It's fine. I know. We're in a pandemic.
Yeah. You don't want to be one of the people doing Zoom stand-up.
That's true.
It depreciates your fucking, like, catch as a comedian.
Have you watched any Zoom stand-up? I've not watched. I will not.
I will not. But I also, like, Kyle Kinane was talking about, like, why would I, you know, make myself less valuable by, you know, being open to any market at any point in time for $5 versus people will pay $35 to see me in person when I can travel and go there again. And I think he brings up a good point. Like, you don't want to dilute your value, you know.
Who brought that up?
Kyle Kinane.
Oh, true. He's cool.
Yeah, I met him at a thing once and I got to talking to him. He's from the neighboring suburb of mine in the Chicagoland area.
Interesting.
And he was like, your suburb he grew up in Addison and I grew up in Elmhurst. And he's like, Elmhurst is where you'd take the girls, like, if you wanted a good date. They had a cute downtown, like, you know, movie theater, ice cream shop type of thing. And I thought that was just the tits. I thought that was great that he knew exactly about, like, the suburbs and everything.
That's fun. Yeah. Well, moral of the story, Mr. Lensing, you're a good guy. I'm assuming your students still like you. I hope they do. Or else, what the fuck are they doing? You're great.
And Adam, sorry for that penis thing he did.
Am I, though? Because it was great. Anyway, yeah. Walt checks later. He got a text that says Poyos.
And he zips on over to Poyos Hermanos. And, you know, Gus isn't there. And you know who's there? Victor. And
that
he's
lady.
Trying to... Oh, that lady, but also Victor. And he's trying to get some free Reese's Pieces out of the little, like, candy vending machines you put get a handful of Reese's Pieces out of. And he goes, go be there in an hour, you dumb shit. And if you don't make it, come here again. Yeah.
Okay. So I have a bone to pick here. Well, first of all, it's kind of funny. This is, like, the third time we see Walt, like, speeding just in the middle of Albuquerque, swerving like crazy. But the only time we ever see him get pulled over is when he has a crack in his windshield.
Also, you made it seem like that fucking tire was super important to the story, and that tire that he throws out, that tire did nothing. That's not fair.
Oh, yeah, it was just a spare tire.
I didn't understand why he had to throw it.
Because it was in the way.
Of what, exactly?
The meth!
No. He already dealt the meth at that point.
No, he hadn't. He was dropping it off in that abandoned hotel.
So he was just putting it there?
I think so. They don't really explain
that. I gotta rewatch that. I thought he had already done what he needed to do and had the money and was like, all donezo. That's not Cage.
No, he was still like, he's like, oh fuck, I just made it in time. Oh fuck, where do I put this? Oh boy.
Okay, because I thought he was like supposed to go to a rest stop off of the exit 13 and drop it off at a rest stop. That's an abandoned motel. That's different.
I'm assuming the rest stop's nearby and he's just parking there.
And gonna run? Like, with 38
pounds?
Yeah,
he's fast!
With 38 pounds of...
Well, okay. My biggest gripe is Gus goes on this whole spiel about, like, I'm professional. I do things professionally. There are many factors to this business. I want to be professional. He's like, now, here, run a fucking relay race to take the Schedule 1 narcotic across town in an hour. If you get pulled over, it'll, like, ruin your life. Like, that's the dumbest shit. Like...
Don't you think he's doing that to kind of put Walter in his place when Walter's like, I work with Jesse because he does what I tell him to do.
What is this, Sigma Chi? He's hazing him?
I'm not saying that it's a great idea, but maybe he's got to kind of keep, you know, Walt humble. If it's like, I come at your own leisure and give me my drugs for $1 million. I mean, he's got to see that the dude can jump through hoops, or he's got to make it seem like, you know, he's got to keep him on his toes, right? I think it's stupid to have Walt speeding around, you know?
Yeah, with like a literal full garbage sack full of felony level narcotics.
Yeah.
And the only way this scene can be justified is if the next time they met, which is the beginning of season 3, Walt goes, wow, that was hard getting it there on time. And Gus goes, yeah, we like to mess with the new guys. That's the only way this makes sense. And anyway, you go, and he breaks into Jesse's house.
And because he's got to get it and he can't get a hold of him. And as he's breaking into the house, Skylar's like, I'm in labor. But he's like, I don't really care about the things you say.
He's like, this is... I will die from cancer if I do not get this done. So yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. And so you can see that the people are all fucked up, and he uses a little statue to bust in the door. And, Jesse won't wake up. And finally, Jesse's like, it's under the sink. Let me sleep. I've done drugs. And good thing nobody coughed this time. Like, why weren't people more concerned about choking on your vomit this time?
Yeah, he was straight up on his back.
Yeah, and she was like, had her face buried in a pillow. That would have been a rough way to go too. And you know, Walt rips apart the kitchen, finds the meth, puts it in a used garbage bag, and off he goes. And I will say,
good hiding spot. Yeah. Good hiding spot.
False. It's you can't Solid. Fault him for. It's not like it's like in a cookie jar or something. There's a false bottom to the sink, mm-hmm. and he's hit it there. And that was good news for him.
Yeah. And then Walt has a little moment where he gets a text that says baby coming, and he's like, oh, I have to make a choice. And he chooses this two episodes that end with Walt making a pretty difficult moral choice.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. true.
Do you have any idea where the ringer ranks this?
I think it's low. I think it's 56.
Oh, man, you got one digit right. It's 46.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so pretty close. Yeah, not that. Pretty much the big thing is like, hey,
Gus.
Pretty cool. And would you give this? I'm guessing you'd give this a B. Even I would.
Yeah, I give this a B pretty much. I didn't think it was that great of an episode.
It was fine. I liked it. Gus is, that moment when you're watching it the first time, that moment where Gus reveals himself is very cool. So I like that. And the rest is fine. I hate that scene in the birthday party.
Yeah.
God damn it, I hate it.
Yeah, that is how weird would it be to be one of those employees there and clearly these two kind of want to fuck, and you're just like, this is my work environment. Why do I have to be party to this? You know,
the only thing, but it, based on the scene, it implies that Skylar did this once on a lark, and maybe every year they're like, oh, Skylar sings the birthday song when she, because it's like a thing she does, they make it seem.
Yeah, but she gets right in his face. It's like, that. It's one thing to be like coquettishly in the corner, like happy, across the table, like trying to be faux flirty. Even that isn't great. But she's like, he's making uninterrupted, intense, I fucking you contact with her. And she's not shy about it. And it's clear that he is at least interested in her and she's vibing with it. I think, you know, I'd be like, I got to find a new place to work. These two, this is not right. Or I would be like, why don't anybody want to fuck me? Is another.
Well, and most importantly, the candles are melting.
Oh, yeah. And that's going to fuck up the cake. And the lady was like, the candles, you guys.
The candles, the candles.
Yeah.
Well, follow us on Instagram.
Please.
Write a review on a piece of scratch paper and hang it up either on like a bulletin board in your school or put it in Slack. Like send a picture of it in your work Slack. We'd appreciate that.
Maybe you could do that thing where you take one of those lanterns that have a little light in it and you like write your wish on the lantern and send it in the sky. Just write a review on one of those and then let it set on fire in the night sky.
That'd be really helpful. Yeah, if you could do that, yeah, that'd be we'd good. Appreciate it.
Follow LL Cool Sheriff on Twitter.
Yeah, do that. I guess until next time.
A mighty fine Heisenberg to you.
To you, fair listener.
Bye.
Bye.